නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස. So yesterday night we have discussed the relationship between dana and sila and how our good qualities and our merits get further enhanced along, starting from dana. Because of dana, lay down a good seed and good foundation for us to grow in sila. And today we are going to discuss how we can move from sila to samadhi. As we have discussed, this approach, if you want to read a lot of details about sila, you can read up from the great chronicle of the Buddhas, Mahabuddha Vamsa. So there, the Tipitaka Dhara Mingguan Siado, he composed everything relating to sila into big topic. So this is not what we are trying to discuss in that manner. Because even to discuss that sila in that manner alone, one talk you cannot finish. So here I'm going to highlight the relationship and how we move from sila to samadhi. This talk is meant to for the understanding of the mechanism, how they get related, instead of just knowing this sila, this, how it gets related and how it functions. So this is the main purpose of this talk. So I won't go into this, describe too much about this and that. If you are interested, you can go further. So as we have said, the sila aspect. We have Vinaya sila, and we actually also have Sutanta sila. The virtues as described in the Vinaya, in the rules and regulation of the Buddha, and also the virtues described in the sutta. And you can further understand these two aspects if you have good understanding of Abhidhamma. The Tipitaka you cannot dissect and cannot separate. People will try to separate Tipitaka and break this away from another. They don't understand the Dhamma truly. Later I'm going to show you how they are related. Okay, let's come to talk about this Vinaya sila. In the Vinaya sila, I want to highlight two aspects. There are many ways of categorizing this sila, but here I want to highlight two categories, highlight two ways. One is the Varita sila, the sila that tells you this you don't do: no killing, no stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, no taking intoxicants. So this is a restraint part. If you don't do, your sila is okay. You have got this Varita sila. You just don't do. Then another type of sila also comes under the Vinaya category, especially for the monks. The Buddha specifically mentioned Charita sila, the virtues you need to fulfill by doing, by completing, by accomplishing. For the monks and nuns and the disciples, they have a duty towards the teacher. Why? That's very strange. I can give you a few examples in duty in Charita sila for the monks and nuns. Okay, the disciple supposed to get up earlier before the teacher get up. You get up. You're supposed to sleep after the teacher fall asleep. And usually those days, they are so near to each other. They share maybe the same hall or something like that. So you're supposed to get up early and prepare the then the tooth, your toothpaste and then those days are the toothstick those days, and then sometimes you have to prepare the water for washing the feet, and you have to get ready the their robes and bowl and wash everything properly for Pindapata. You know, and everything. And if the teacher gets sick, you have to do this and this and this. And if the teacher happened to commit some offense in the Vinaya, it's not for the student to look down on the teacher, but to find ways to help the teacher to quickly recover from his offense. You see, sometimes it is given, even the student has to help the teacher. Sometimes the student can be Arahant, the teacher can be Putujana. It could be. You see, that sometimes the student realize faster, quicker. But still, they fulfill the duty. Very wonderful. For example, there was one Samanera, Arahant, but the teacher is Putujana, is Mahathera. But when the teacher gives some instruction, the Arahant Samanera, see, go and fulfill it. Why? Very unique. And actually, in great details, the relationship between the student towards the teacher, it was given in great details. Oh, in very minor things also. Prepare this and prepare this and do this and do that. This is Charitasila. So in our modern context, if you talk about Charitasila for layperson, basically it's more or less in the same spirit for father, mother, elders. It's the same. The spirit for teacher, same. But in the similar spirit. Need not be exactly the same, but in the same spirit. You have to fulfill your duty. Out of gratitude, out of respect. The main reason, you can see the main thing, all these duties for the junior towards a senior, for the student towards a teacher, basically, there are a few things you can see. It cultivate. Cultivate respect. It cultivate gratitude. It cultivate humility. Self-effacement. So this is a quality that you cultivate. Later I'm going to show this thing, how it relate. But for Varitasila, it also cultivates certain things, you know. Five precepts, now you just recited. What these five precepts produce in us? Samma, samma vaca, Sammakammanta, Samma Ajiva. If you really observe, five precepts, sometimes in another context, sometimes the Buddha also present the five precepts in another way. Ajiva Atamakasilam. The eight precepts, the livelihood as the eight for eight precepts. Because when you observe the five precepts, actually in your real life, almost you have your right livelihood. Almost. Almost. And if you observe the right livelihood as the eight precepts, you are exactly like keeping these five precepts. So, the Buddha present it differently at different time to different people. But basically, the spirit is the same. The spirit is very much the same. In the livelihood as the eight precepts, more details, the Musawada-Veeramani, it was described in more details. All four types of wrong speech. Musawada, Pisuna vaca, parusa vaca, sampapalapa. The wrong lying speech, wrong speech, the splitting speech, the harsh speech, and the frivolous speech. In fact, if people observe Musavatu to great detail, they also keep to that great details. And then there's a slight difference, like the not taking liquor. Not taking liquor. But actually, this also, if you observe the livelihood as the eight precepts, not killing, not stealing, no sexual misconduct, no lying, no splitting speech, no slandering speech, no harsh speech, no frivolous speech, and no wrong livelihood. So actually, there's like the not taking intoxicants. This is also actually like implied, in a way implied also in the wrong livelihood. So you have to avoid that also. So very much similar, very much similar.
So what it produce?
Samma vaca, samma kammanta, samma ajiva. These three in the Abhidhamma is virati. Three virati. Three cetasika. Three virati. And later we are going to say, these three virati, how it relates to our samadhi. We are talking about sila, from sila to samadhi. This is the main topic for today. Sila to samadhi. So, when you observe this, you are cultivating this three virati. And not only three virati, you are also cultivating hiri otapa, moral shame and moral fear. Moral shame, oh no good, as Buddhists, as disciples of the Buddha, oh it is shameful if I do this. And I come from a good lineage, the Buddha, I'm the Buddha's disciple, it is shameful to do that. I know for my fellow practitioners in the Dharma, if they know that I'm doing this, oh, it is shameful. That's hiri, is a restraint for us. And otapa, you know this karma, you know there's karma. Now, if I do this wrong, I'm going to suffer this karma, this vipaka, this karma result. So these two things, actually hiri, otapa, even when the Buddha Sasana not exists in the world, these are the two pillars or two main factors that keep the world in proper order. In a world where there's no Buddha's teaching, but somehow, sometimes, as long as that community, that society still remains some kind of virtues or morality, it is because of hiri otapa. Whether it is because of Confucianism or whatever. Okay. Fear. Fear for what? Fear for being punished by law or by the kings. So this is. So moral shame and moral fear. Hiri otapa. This is also good quality. Cultivated. This is two of the 19 beautiful mental, universal beautiful mental seeds. So this also cultivated. And then, okay. Now you see, in the Vinaya Sila, we have the Varita. Restraint. This restraint, you cultivate these three virati, samma vaca, samma kammanta, right speech, right samma kammanta, right action, samma ajiva, right livelihood. Three things. And then plus the three. These three actually three virati. And then plus the hiri otapa, moral shame and moral fear. Oh, five good qualities we develop. This is direct one. In fact, there are many other good qualities also comes up. When you restrain, you have good cetana. Cetana is an intention. You have good intention. You cultivate good intention. This cetana is the main factor that leads us in committing karma. The main one. Our karma depends on our cetana. So this one. So you see, sir, so many. Later I'm going to describe further. What are the factors that are involved when we observe sila? And these are the factors. How these factors contribute for samadhi. So this, when you observe varita sila, oh, you keep five precepts, the monk keep the patimokkha precept, don't do this, don't do the wrong thing. Then varita sila, when varita sila is fulfilled, then these are the quality, vitri virati, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. This is mental states. And then moral shame, moral fear, and then good cetana, good intention. This. There are others, which I will come back again to this topic. And then, charita sila, when you are humble and respectful, what qualities arise? Grateful. What qualities arise in our mind? Ask ourselves, when I'm respectful, when I'm humble, when I'm willing to serve, sincere, willing to help, willing to support, willing to serve the elders, respectful. What are the qualities that appears in our mind? What are the qualities? You see, 12 mental states can arise in our mind. When, in fact, all wholesome states we comes with this 12 mental states. But especially when we are humble and we give service, 12 mental states, wholesome mental states appear in our mind. What are they? Kaya Lahuta, Chitta Lahuta. Lightness of the body and lightness of the mind. And this body is not physical body. If it is physical body, it cannot be mental state. So many people, they think kaya, body, same like body, so they say this is not possible. Because it is classified under mental states. If it is classified under mental states, this lightness of the body, it refers to the lightness of our mental body. Actually, all other chetasika. All other mental states, if they have this lightness, this is... Citta lahuta, the consciousness itself is light. All the mental states is also have this light quality. And then, two. It comes in one pair. Lightness. Okay, in simple terms, for people who are not so used to differentiating consciousness and mental states, this is for people who practice vipassana. They will be very clear in nama kamatana when we differentiate the mentality. When you do the vipassana on mentality, the thought process, the mental states, you will be able to differentiate. This is a kaya, this is citta, this is mental states, and this is consciousness. Actually, they are like water and the water states in the same way. So mental and mental states. So you can differentiate. You can differentiate. But generally, before a person come to that understanding, we say, well, the mind, the lightness of the mind. Actually, we to be precise, we refer the lightness of the consciousness and the lightness of all other mental states. Okay? So, kaya lahuta, citta lahuta. Kaya pasadi, citta pasadi. The tranquility of our mental states and tranquility of our consciousness. So in simple terms, we say one, tranquility. To be precise, we divide into two. Tranquility of mental states and tranquility of the consciousness. And then, mudu. Kaya muduta, citta muduta. Softness. Softness. You see, when the mind, respectful, humble, and giving, willing to give service, and accepting someone as more knowledgeable than you or elder than you and things like that, and the willingness to follow, to be obedient and follow, this quality is a softness of mind. If the mind is arrogant, it cannot have this softness quality. The mind is gentle, it has this softness quality. Later we are going to see why, how this softness quality functions. So it has a force softness. And then kaya kamanyata and citta kamanyata. Kamanyata means adaptability. You see, when the mind is soft, it's proficient. You see, when you want to serve someone, nowadays I see sometimes people when they serve, they don't really have this. Sometimes when they serve, when the mind is strong and hard and ego, they want to serve the way they want to serve. No, sorry, this is my way. Sometimes they don't observe, they don't see. But in fact, in the Nisaya duty, the duty of dependence for the disciples to the teacher, it is to serve well, you have to flow along with your elders or your teacher. You need to know what your teacher needs, what time he needs, what he wants, what he doesn't want. But modern days, you don't find disciples easily serve like that. They serve with arrogance. You know, they want to, because the duty asks me to serve, I serve. My teacher wants me to serve, I serve. But sometimes they don't develop good qualities through service. This is a pity. But the spirit in the Nisaya duties is actually you have to do to the way that satisfying your teacher wisdom. Not, of course, not wrong things. If the teacher must give the right things to do. So you must be able to adapt. Okay, now you notice, the teacher want to go for pinapasa. Immediately, without saying, prepare the bowl, prepare this and offer and this. When the teacher comes back, automatically, to prepare the water for washing the feet and then to do this and then maybe a little rubbing on the feet so that to ease his the tiredness in the journey. So this, a lot of things automatically is cultivated until it becomes on your own, you have to be very alert, and you have to have very soft heart and observant mind. Observing, be very observant. So it brings up that quality. The mind must be very soft to adapt. If it is mind is hard, you cannot. People who have a very hard mind, according to our experience, they cannot fulfill in Charitasira because too hard, too hard. You even if they give service, you feel very uncomfortable. Oh, you sometimes spoil the things also, because instead of doing what the teacher needs, he will do what he needs, what he wants. He wants it to be this way, this way. I notice even in among the students who prepare the water for me, the washing water. Some students, they will observe, oh, the teacher always put the washing water on the right side and always other things on the left side. Why? And sometimes even I purposely show to them, okay, the people on the wrong side already. I put the washing water from here, I shift over here. Because I'm washing my right hand, I'm eating with my right hand. But strange, tomorrow again, the student will just insist on putting this way. Continuously, sometimes more than 3 times, no observing anything. Very strange. Of course I can tell, well, please put this here. I'm just trying to see whether this student is serving with an adaptable mind, gentle, soft mind, or he's just serving in the way of his own world. He's not going to see what the teacher needs, his habits, his priority, his tendency. No, he serves in the way he wants. He do it in the way he wants. And sometimes they clean my room. Those who have this adaptability, they will know, oh, okay, the teacher wants it to be this way, this way. Okay, they'll put. But those who insist on, they do it with a service of an ego or pride. I want to make the teacher feel my presence. Okay, purposely, every time they know I want to put this thing here, it's easy for me to take. They insist on putting it another round and or they keep the water, and they fill out the water for you. They want to make the cap open just to make you know, actually, I come and clean your room. My presence is here. So that Charitasila cannot be fulfilled. So, of course, we are going to guide them how to fulfill Charitasila. Usually, the better person to guide is the next junior person. Because for the teacher to say, well, you should serve me this way, you should serve me like that. Sometimes, you know, well, my teacher is very proud, he wants to be served that way. No, it's actually to bring out the good quality. So in the form, in performing Charitasila, it's very different. You just see how you serve a parent, your mother and father. People who can serve well, they serve. Correct? Exactly. And then, as a result of their service, the mother and father receive higher welfare. Higher welfare. It's like that. So same. So I noticed, I start, those days I was saying, well, I was thinking, oh, let my student meditate a lot. No need to give them so much duty. Just give them meditate. I can do my own. I wash my own room. No problem. No, I was so caring for my student. I was just thinking, oh, freedom from so much duty. No need. Later I realized, oh, that kind, not developing that quality in meditation, oh, they suffer. You give them one instruction, because of the arrogance, they twist the instruction and change. They cannot deserve the instruction. You give them the instruction, they cannot deserve the instruction. Very strange. But students who perform their Charitasira very well, they are very observant. Oh, my teacher need this. Oh, my teacher care about this. Then they will do. They will do exactly. For example, one thing that I care a lot as a teacher is, oh, we want to, these things is for sasana. We want people to benefit. We want people to receive the Dharma. You know, so even when we are tired, sometimes we want to teach. But you see, the student who show, if they are not observing, they want to serve in the way they want. They don't know care what the teacher care. What they will do? I want to make my teacher realize that I care so much for him. So they block. No, my teacher need to rest. My teacher need to rest. Don't. Sometimes as a result, they create the bad karma. I told them sometimes, no, you cannot do like that. As long as a person is willing to teach and a person is willing to receive teaching, it is not for you to block. So even when the Buddha was about to pass away, Venerable Ananda was trying to protect the Buddha, but the Buddha said, no, Ananda, let him come in and teach the last person and let him attain arahantship, the last person. So Venerable Ananda was very gentle. Oh, the Buddha wants to teach. Okay, fine, please go, instead of blocking. But sometimes modern students, very difficult. We tell them, please don't block. You block people's learning, it can be dangerous karma. if the teacher doesn't want to teach, he must have his wisdom, or he's not ready to teach. That he's not blocking. If I don't want to teach, I'm not blocking anybody. I just feel this is not the occasion for me to teach. But if I want to teach and there's another one want to receive, anyone who come in between and to block, that's bad karma. But if the person who offer to help my Dhamma Dana, if I think this is not the time for Dhamma Dana, it's just that I don't perform this merit only. But blocking is another type of karma. So sometimes I explain to them, still sometimes this what once a while, but now most of people they understand. Most people understand. Usually those who make mistakes are new ones. They sometimes they forget. They don't understand. Sometimes service more it comes like the in the form I want to make you know that I already clean your room. Actually, very strange. Sometimes I have to search for my thing. Oh, where my thing go? Oh, keep it so packed, it's so neat. You know, keep it here, keep it there. So sometimes you make trouble for you know the teacher. So then I search for it. Then they say, I ask you to search. Oh, I put it there. I put it there. Oh, I say no. Next time you do like that. But next time show again. Still want to find another way to show that I actually clean your room. So it cannot produce that kind of a quality. But if they really practice up to the spirit of Charitasila, it's very beautiful. The Buddha has great wisdom. And from my experience, students who perform Charitasila very well, usually they also can receive instruction very well. And also that will be one good factor for them to progress. You see, one reason meditators cannot progress well is they cannot receive the instruction properly. You may be very surprised. You say, wow, people work so hard, but why they cannot progress? So often, you find meditators, they are not able to receive instruction properly. You tell one thing, they turn another way. You tell one thing, they practice another way. So, in this sense, Charitasila comes in exactly to help, to guide the person, to prepare a person to be a student. If a person doesn't have a student quality, it's so difficult to receive. You tell so many times. You waste a lot of energy. You don't receive well. But a student who has a student quality, you tell one time, enough. They get it already. Very fast they get the message already. Very wonderful. So Charitasila is important. Then later I start to emphasize. In the past I just thought, oh, freedom from duty. Don't give them so much duty. Let them meditate. But not so useful. Let them do some service. After that they meditate. They can meditate well. So this Charitasila will really function very well. So this is under Vinaya. Varitasila, Charitasila, under Vinaya. Then Suttanta Sila. You read about Suttanta Sila, you can see. You can see from Karanimetta Sutta. You can see from, especially Karanimetta Sutta, the first 15 part, 15 qualities, 15 moralities. We can briefly just glance through. And then also like Salika Sutta, like not to be crooked, not to do a lot of hinting and this. Basically the Salika Sutta, the whole thing, I think 44 virtues, I think so. I think it's 44. No second. But basically, the spirit underlying Salika Sutta is actually like truthfulness, honesty, and upright. So you can, if you're interested, you can go into the great details. Okay. Now, let's look at this Suttanta Sila in Karanimetta Sutta. Sakko, capable. Strange, huh? You want to, this Karanimetta Sutta, the whole Sutta is actually teaching towards attainment of Metta Jhana. Especially coming to the last part, he say you will not be reborn into the womb again. How? If it is ordinary metta, the Buddha will not say that. By practicing this metta, you will not be reborn into the womb again. Womb, being reborn in the womb, animals or human. Basically, some parts of devas, but mainly animals and human. Mainly animals and human, ghosts. Some animal and human are the main one, but human, let's say, it's all lower realm, sensual realm. You will not be reborn into the womb again. Of course, you can say some higher deva because of this metta. You also don't be reborn into the womb again, deva. can. But more sitting is referring to Brahma. More sitting, more suitably referring to Brahma attainment. So if a person attain metta jhana, he is sure. Then if he can sustain it until dying moment, dying time, it is sure. This the power of metta, it always bring you to be reborn in good place. If it is, if it doesn't come up to jhana level, the power is, it will bring you to be reborn in a good place, provided it ripen at the last thought moment. But if you maintain up to jhana level, then if it is first jhana, you die in the first jhana, metta jhana, you'll be reborn in the first jhana, brahmarayam. If you die in the second jhana, metta jhana, then you dying moment, then you'll be reborn in second jhana plane. And if it's third jhana, you'll be third jhana plane. And for metta, you can only reach up to third jhana. If you want to go to fourth jhana, you turn to upekkha. Because the metta quality by itself has happiness. And fourth jhana is equanimous. The feeling is equanimity. So, once it turns into equanimity, it is no more metta. It is upekkha already. So anyway, coming back. So we go come back. These 15 qualities starting from sakko. Sakala. Sakko is a language, grammatically. So this capable. Capable. Actually the mind has some power. Not only the mind also. Out of this capability, one factor is good health. One factor is health. Very strange. Healthy also has something to do, you know. If it's the mind, a body also not healthy, also big problem. But also, some are overlapped. Uju, suhuju also come under this. Faith also comes under this. And then the prudence, wisdom, also come under this, capable. But this is a little redundant. But after that, sakko, uju, upright. Upright, especially when your action and speech are upright. You don't do the wrong things, you don't do wrong things. This uprightness. Suju, very upright, extremely upright. Actually, it's the mind level already. When the mind, even in dream, you know, you are upright, you are not cheating, where this is very upright. Suvaccho, easy to admonish, easy to listen to advice, can talk to, easy to talk to. Mudu, softness of heart. Anatimani, not pride. Santu sakko, content. Fewness of wishes, subaru, easy to sub. Santu sakko subaru, apaki. Santu sakko subaru, easy to support. Apakicho, less, few duty, simple living, simple life. Simple living. Salaukauti, light living. Frugality, light living. Sandindrayoja, your senses, serenity in your senses. You guard your senses, all the senses you guard, serenity. Sandindrayoja. Nipakoja, prudence. You must be able to manage things nicely, properly, some wisdom. Some people, they want to be kind to people, they want to be nice, but sometimes they keep on mess up everything. So always because of not having wisdom, always mess up things. Also find very difficult. You try to be kind to people, they are very nice also with metta, but always spoil things. And such person also, their metta also cannot be very good. People cannot, Not only metta. These 15 qualities are for metta, also for other samadhi. Other types of samadhi also important. Later I'm going to explain. So these, prudence also important. Things, people who always mess up their things, they always end up in trouble. Such person, they want to, by the time they want to sit down to meditate, a lot of worries, a lot of remorse, a lot of problems. Apagabo. Modest. Modest. Gentle. Modest. So kulesu ananugito, not greedily attached to families. This is for monks also important. For monks, so in the lay people context, basically, if you practice love and metta, it's not for holding on to people. Some people I know when they practice metta, it's more like they want to like hypnotize or capture people's mind. So this is also not good. I know one person, he fell in love with a particular girl. So okay, you fall in love lah, you know, normally lah, you know, we don't say anything. But he tried to use the metta to capture the girl's mind. And then when he failed, somehow he just feel maybe karmically also wrong. He just failed. And he suffered so much for that. And he planted deep. So that metta is abuse. That is not pure metta already. It's actually craving. And actually it's a crooked mind. Trying to use the Dharma power to capture people's mind. So this is also wrong. So this is very important. This one. Then the last one, the 15th quality. Nacakudang samacara kinci ena winyu pare upavadeyum. Do not do the things, even the slightest things that the wise man is going to condemn. I see this one is very special. The Buddha care about how the wise thing. Teach us to care about how the wise thing. Not how the world think. So often in the text, you find the Buddha always emphasize, we don't do things what the wise men will despise and say, well, this is no good. So we actually, for the Buddhists, we care not the majority, we care what the wise think. Because the wise, why the wise attitude and their opinion is more, has carry heavier weightage on us. Why? What is wisdom? Wisdom is basically understanding of nature, of truth. Right or not? So the wise man, his opinion is closer or according to truth. So when you follow truth, you are getting the blessing of truth. You care about the wise man's opinion, you are actually caring about truth. This is then you get the blessing of truth. But if people care for the majority, even if the majority are all ignorant, still care. Oh, then they let their leadership or what their idea, their decision be carried by the majority. Then sometimes can be a big problem. So in the Buddhist context, it's different. In the modern context, they think majority is right. You see, whichever leader, they don't have the independence of wisdom. They just follow, or they just according to the poll, opinion poll, and then they just decide. Such leader, they cannot lead well. They cannot lead well. They have to have the wisdom, because wisdom belongs to the minority. Actually, very few people have real wisdom. So the Buddha wants us to care for the wisdom opinion, the wise opinion, more than majority. So this is very important quality. So these are the 15 types of virtues. 15 types of virtues, which is very important for us. And how this Suttantasila, not only Karanamata Sutta, you can read Saleka Sutta, Sigalawada Sutta, all other Sutta, these are Suttantasila, you know, how a husband should treat the wife treat husband, and then how to be good, how many types of wives, and how to be the good wives, and how to be the good husband, and father, mother, and then as an employer, employee. You know, these are also all Suttantasila. Now we only have time to quote example this Metta Sutta. So look at these qualities. When we cultivate these qualities, just these 15 types, later we talk about metta, other things, what happened to our mind? Uju, suju, uprightness. Ah, yes. You see, just now we talked about the six pairs, we just mentioned a few pairs only. Lightness, tranquility, softness, adaptability, and proficiency. And uprightness. Kayu jutkata, chitu jukata. So this uprightness, six, basically, so it goes into, but it refers to the mental states, and it refers to the consciousness itself. So this six quality, because of the referring to mental states and referring to consciousness, it becomes 12 mental states. By itself, it's another mental state. So it becomes 12 mental states, which is very useful. Very useful for samatha and very useful for vipassana. These qualities. Lightness of mind, lightness, tranquility, softness, adaptability, proficiency, and uprightness. So you see, when we cultivate this quality, not pride, willing to, easy to be, to receive advice. Some people, they don't want to listen to other people. They don't want to listen. Sometimes the student, I see, this student, most problematic student, what they say? I won't listen to anybody. I will only listen to Bande Mangala. I say, no. Some even they are not willing to listen to assistant teacher. They only want to listen, I want to listen to Bande Mangala only. Actually, by doing that, he's also not listening to me. Because my advice is, a good student, a good truth seeker, you should learn from anything that can teach you a lesson. Actually, it's everything. Everything also teaches something, you know. Right or wrong also teaches something. Then I told the student, I said, no, if by you are doing like that, you are not listening to me also. You know whom I learn from? I learn from everybody. I learn from everything. Our attitude, because why? Every phenomena has something to teach us. If a person commits something wrong, it teaches something. When someone does something very right, very intelligent, teaches something. Even a child sometimes teaches something. Look at what Venerable Sariputta. At one time, in the room, he just came out. But his robe not properly. Didn't wear his robe properly. Not the attire, not properly. The robe, then like hanging down. Then one Samanera, very simple heart. Then the Samanera, then this is a great teacher. He just said, teacher, your robe is wrong, falling down. Then immediately say, it go down, go in, and wear properly again, and comes up. Now, according to Vinaya, already his robe. Then he folds his palm, say, thank you, teacher. How gentle. Our Arahant, Venerable Sariputta. This is a good quality. This is a good quality. And very gentle to forgive. You see, look at Venerable Sariputta. At one time, there's one person who wanted to test him. Because too many people praise, my teachers, Venerable Sariputta, how good. Then one person said, well, I really don't think he is so good. No? He said, yes, very good. Then he's thinking, well, tomorrow I'm going to challenge a test to show that he's actually not so good. So what he did, when Venerable Sariputta went for Pindapata, going for arms round, he went to his back and just give one big punch on the back of Venerable Sariputta. Then Venerable Sariputta, very painful. What is that? For an arahant with psychic power like him, he didn't need to turn back. Someone punched his back. He just keep quiet and continue walking. Without angry, without anything. Because other people are saying that he won't get angry, but this person is trying to make him angry. But he actually not angry, even with a big punch, very heavy punch. He didn't get angry. He just, someone punched me. Continue walking. Then suddenly, this person, he was conquered already. So he suddenly, I'm hitting a great being. Then he knew how serious it is. So he immediately ran in front and then kneel down and said, please forgive me. Then, people are surrounding and watching. Was so angry, trying to beat him up. You know, because they are beating their teacher. And then Venerable Sariputta stopped them, don't do that. He's beating you or beating me? Like that. So beating you. So it's not your business. So then he said, okay, I can forgive you. Then this person, person who assaulted the Venerable Sariputta, he said, if you actually forgive me, please receive my dana at my house. Now, go to my house. Then Venerable Sariputta, give the bowl to him, I go to your house. So difficult to get a chance to offer dana to Venerable Sariputta. It's rare. Everyone grab this opportunity. But this person who assaulted her, he got this opportunity. So other people say, you cannot, how can you give this blessing to him? You know, it's a big blessing. Venerable Sariputta go to your house to eat your food. It's a big blessing, you know. It's a big chance. But then Venerable Sariputta said, no, it's my business. It's not yours. So then he went. Then this is a very wonderful, good quality of Venerable Sariputta. Very wonderful quality. So such quality, it the mind, how is the mind works? You see, the mind very, very powerful, very soft, very gentle, and yet very powerful. In what sense it is powerful? The wholesomeness, the kusala dhamma, cannot be destroyed. In that sense, it is very powerful. And it is very proficient. You see, this situation, that situation, challenge in this way, challenge that, it can work well under any situation. The mind that can work well under any situation. Smooth, you praise, you blame, you try to deprive, you know, in a deeply deprived state, still can work well. Such mind is very proficient, very powerful. That's why in the Visuddhimagga, it is said that the wise yogi can meditate under any situation, any condition. This is also the factors that Dutanga cultivate. The 13 types of Dutanga. Basically, what the Dutanga want to cultivate? Contentment. Fewness of wishes. Contentment. Fewness of wishes. Self-effacement. Energy. And wait. Contentment. Fewness of wishes. Energy. So anyway. So, he cultivate these qualities. So people who don't understand Dutanga, okay, they want to insist, okay, now they play. Okay, I also keep this Dutanga. So, sometimes bypass, for example, one practice is you take the ropes, broken rag cloth. But sometimes if people play strategies, I'm practicing Dutanga, but I have difficulty to get proper rope. So try to hint to people so that you can put the rope by the roadside, then you will pick up, anybody else? Nobody's? Okay, this is mine. So if it happened, some people, because without your hinting, some people just want to put there, and you pick up nobody's, it is red ropes. So you wear, okay, fine, still comes under that Dutanga practice. But if you, in order to wear well, but you still want to call yourself a red ropes wearer, and then hinting, then it is actually not Dutanga practice already. Not real Dutanga practice already. The mind is not upright. It doesn't fulfill the purpose of self-contentment, fewness of wishes, like that. Moderation, etc. And then, so this is important. So these virtues, it has a lot to do. Contentment, fewness of wishes, all these qualities has a lot to do with these six paths. And of course, some are related to wisdom, like prudence. It is related to wisdom. So many factors are involved. Many factors are involved in when we cultivate the virtues. So this sila, people mostly understand about as from the point of restraint only. Actually, no. This sila, if you really cultivate various types of sila, patimokkha sila, this sila, and then contemplation on food, and actually it's more for contentment. And then cultivating your purpose. And also, it brings out also wisdom. For example, when we contemplate on food, it also brings out what qualities? Sattaka sampajana, clear comprehension of purpose. Because every day you recite on the purpose, so when you take, you remember, I eat food for this purpose. And sapaya sampajana, suitability. Is it suitable or not suitable? You see, this sila has this purpose to serve. And then if you practice this clear comprehension, wisdom quality also increase. And this wisdom also can increase our efficiency. People who do things without knowing the purpose, without knowing whether it is suitable, you will waste a lot of energy. But people who do things and who practice Dhamma with clear comprehension, they can be very efficient. Can be very efficient. Just one example, eating food. People who don't contemplate well how, why we should eat food. Not for beauty, not for this, not for that, only for brahmacharya practice, and to overcome the hunger, and so that, and then not overeating. If you overeat, then the bad feeling arises. But nowadays, what we hear, the modern practice, masters are saying that, oh, you must not waste your food. You must eat and finish it. Sometimes you cannot finish it. Sometimes you eat halfway, the food is not suitable for you. Sometimes you eat, you happen to overestimate, or, you know, you eat too much, or you already happen to collect too much. Sometimes, yes, you know, for example, you take the rice. If you are not aware, this is nasi lemak, you know. The same amount of rice, actually, nasi lemak, you should take less. Because with the lemak, you cannot take so much. Sometimes you happen to calculate wrongly. So what to do? To throw or not to throw? If you have the reflection of the purpose the Buddha told us, how we should eat with such purpose, then you know this is overeating, bad feeling. It is better to throw away the food. To throw, of course, you give to the animal, give to the germs, you know, the bacteria, they are going to benefit from it. It's not a loss, actually. Of course, if we know we are not going to eat so much, we go and simply order and throw, this is no good. But when you eat to get the highest efficient in practice, Dhamma, in Dhamma practice. So when we recite, and Patisangha yoni so pindapadang parisewami neva davayana marayana mandanayana vibhusanaya yavareva imasakaya sanis apanaya vihingsuparati brahmacara nukahaya iti purananca vedanang parihangkami navanca vedanana upadesami yatracame bhavise anavaca tatasya pasu viharo chati. So this is a whole recitation we are doing every day. Brahmacharya Nukahaya. This is mainly for brahmacharya life. So same, you practice, we need this body, we nourish this body, not for beauty, not for anything, just because we need to practice Dhamma, we need health. So for that reason we do. So when you eat with this clear comprehension of purpose and suitability, you will just eat up to the maximum utility. If you eat one more mouthful, just to finish your food, after that you feel groggy and you want to lie down, you cannot meditate, you feel lazy, and your meditation efficiency reduced, and more straw and topper, then that extra mouthful is actually bringing us this utility. Not utility, but this utility. Then why should we eat for this utility? We should eat to increase our utility, not this utility. So this clear comprehension is very important. So when we practice this sila, actually along the way of practicing sila, we also cultivate prudence. So this also increase our efficiency in the practice. So in many ways, if you really look at the sila, in so many ways you can see how it contributes. And one major way it contributes is to, when you, for a person who really practice sila in complete, all-rounded way, then when you meditate, there's no remorse. Why? What I should do, I have done. No remorse. Instead of saying, oh, this I should have done this, but I didn't do. I should have served my parents well, but now they already died. Oh, I didn't do. Then remorse. Then another type of remorse. What I should not have done, I've done. Oh, I shouldn't have killed, I killed. I shouldn't have lied, I lied. And this remorse. Some people say, well, I don't want to remorse. I can kill. I don't want to remorse. That is easy to say. But karma ripen again. Some people, yes, they can be very stubborn. I don't want to remorse. But karma ripen. Somehow, when a person falls into hell or this and that, remorse definitely will arise. Definitely will arise. Of course, we are not encouraging remorse. We are not saying the remorse is right. But it is as a, in a natural way. If a person keep committing and not doing what should be done, not doing, you don't do, and what should not be done, you do, then when you meditation time, not peaceful. Remorse, kukucha, comes. Udacha, restlessness also happen. Kukucha, oh remorse, oh this one I should not have done. Kukucha, remorse, it happened. So this freedom from remorse, the mind is very light. Freedom from remorse, all these six qualities, six pairs of mental states also can arise easily. And then the mind is light. And these qualities, how it helps our samadhi. First, three virati. Samma vacha, samma kamanta, samma ajiva. Three types of restraint. What the result it produces? It produces a result to be free from very gross offense and gross karma. Because you restrain. You don't do the wrong, very serious wrong. Because if the mind is affected by too gross defilements, you can't even get samadhi. You can't even sit down. Even the meditation becomes a big torture. So the gross one must be overcome by restraint and by moral shame and moral fear. Then you restrain and cultivate. Then if you cultivate charitasila, you develop a lot of gentle qualities, softness, quality, lightness, everything. And then furthermore, if suttantasila, with all these virtues, contentment, fullness of wishes, easy to be admonished. Is it easy to be admonished? It's not easy to cultivate. If a person has a lot of arrogance and pride, heart, cannot be admonished easily. But if a person has very gentle quality, even a child admonished, you say, oh, you cannot do that, how can you hurt me? Oh, I'm hurting you, sorry. You have a very gentle, loving heart. Then the mind. The mind has these qualities. And these qualities, respect. For example, just one quality, respect. Garawa. Or Dhamma Garawa, respect for the Dhamma. Why today we don't tell people, don't step over the chanting book or Dhamma book. Don't step over. It's a matter of respect, because feet usually we refer is some kind of low thing. In our human naturally understanding, leg is low, dirty place. Step on dirty things. The head is high. Of course, when you come arahant, you can say I'm free from this idea of high and low. But still, this somehow, people incline. That's why we always put the Dhamma speaker sitting on higher place. Teacher sitting on higher place. So the mind, when we respect like that, the mind incline towards the higher, the better, the elders, the wiser, the purer. Towards the right, towards those which is in accordance with Dhamma, towards those which has Dhamma qualities and Dhamma powers. This respect is what we need to cultivate. In one of the factors that contribute to our development of samadhi, of our concentration, how you can focus well on your object, is respect. That's why sometimes you hear meditation teachers say, pay attention to your object respectfully. Because the respect is inclination. If you don't respect, the mind will not incline in that direction. You respect, your mind will incline to one direction. That mental inclination, very important. Incline the whole mind in that direction. Incline in that direction. So this respect in the sila we practice. And gratitude. Gratitude mind is very gentle. Appreciate. It's very gentle. You see, even for people who are very rebellious, they are not gratitude. They get all the good things from the teacher, from the parents, but they are very cruel. They just turn their back. And people who don't have this gratitude, when they turn their back, actually they are turning their back towards what is right and good. That's why jealousy also very dangerous. You see other people successful, good, and you are jealous, you are going to lose that. You are going to lose that. And you attack, and you're going to get that. Very strange, because our mind works in that manner. So, if we are not jealous, we rejoice. You see other people good and wiser than us, greater than us. Oh, how wonderful, great. And people who appreciate greatness, appreciate wholesomeness, appreciate holiness, and then the mind, very good, very quickly, the good quality also arises in the mind, because the mind is rightly disposed and rightly inclined. And sila actually works very well in this. When people observe sila, respecting, good quality, grateful, people are doing the good things, you are grateful, and things like appreciation. And all these qualities make the mind in this direction. Then after that, samadhi, easy to cultivate. Because the mind always happy in the Dhamma, full of Dhamma qualities, and full of these six pairs of qualities. Lightness, tranquility, softness, adaptability, proficiency, uprightness. Pure, naturally upright. Then, when you practice samadhi, easy.
You see, you know, fewness of wishes very important. When people who have a lot of desire, when they meditate, this is too dull. How can I enjoy the happiness of breath? How can I enjoy the happiness of breathing? That breathing, I get happiness. Paying attention, this simple thing is very dull. Because they have too much desire. So simple thing, you cannot acquire the simplicity, the power of simplicity, the happiness arising from simplicity. And for jhana actually produce happiness from simplicity. What is jhana? You see, when you get your nimitta, anapana, you get jhana through the nimitta, patibhaga nimitta, only one thing. And you pay attention to that single one thing for one whole hour. How many people can do that? Not easy. Full of desire, you cannot do that. You don't know how to appreciate that simplicity, the happiness from simplicity, you cannot do that. The mind must be very contented. Okay, well, one thing. The teacher asked me to pay attention to this one thing, I just pay attention. Because of that focusing, continuously for a long time, when the time extends, you see, concentration comes when you can focus on one thing for a long time. You don't need to have a lot of wonderful technique. You just pay attention to it and drag the time. Make sure that you don't have much broken in between. So, continuously. Once you focus continuously, then samadhi arises. Look at the thought process of the jhana. The thought process of jhana are very different. The javana is actually uncountable. Continuously. Other ordinary sensual realm thought process, the maximum is 7 javana. After that, bow fall into tadaramana and then other bhavanga again. Then again 7 javana. So this javana is the consciousness that create karma. Javana is the consciousness that create karma. So when this keep getting broken and broken, it lacks the quality of repetition, asevana pachaya. The power of repetition. Once it becomes continuous flow, uncountable millions and billions of consciousness all in one flow, same type of consciousness all in one flow, this asevana pachaya, repetition power, become stronger and stronger and stronger. And why? Because the kusala, the wholesome consciousness, come with another repeat itself. When the same category of wholesome consciousness repeat itself, the strength gather. That's why jhana can be very powerful. Jhana produce very powerful mind. And with jhana, that's why all the psychic powers, all the wisdom, and to penetrate ultimate reality, it comes from power of concentration. Because the concentrated mind is the mind which is unbroken. Unbroken flow of karma-creating consciousness called javana. So it becomes very powerful. It works wonder. You just imagine, thinking power can give us a lot of power. Right? When you think a person who is very clever in thinking, you find the person, so wise, can produce so much good in life. That is when the javana works 7 only. If it works continuously, that mind is wonderful. When the mind think with that kind of capacity, when you think, you can think very efficiently. It will contribute. Will help to that. Of course, you cannot compare one person and another person. You compare the person with himself. Without jhana and with jhana, the person will go up higher, enhance further. In this way. Generally. Occasionally, some mistake can happen. Why? Sometimes people who practice jhana, unknowingly, when they attain jhana, unknowingly the hidden pride can arise. And they start to get negligent in daily life. Also possible. Like Devarata. He got even psychic power, but after that, pride arise. I want to compete with the Buddha for leadership. Then he fall. All these wholesome states are very powerful, but not guaranteed. Guarantee only 4 things only. In 4 things you can accept it as guarantee. Sotapatti Magga, Sakadagami Magga, Anagami Magga, Arahata Magga. Why? These are the supra-mundane consciousness. Once you attain whatever is cut off and gone, it can never come back. The defilements that is cut off never come back again. So this is, we say, the achievement, accomplishment which no longer fall down. Once you become Sotapan, you cannot be Putujana again. Once you become Sakadagami, you cannot be Sotapan again. Not possible. So this Aryamaga, Lokuttara achievement is not reversible. All other things you cannot see guarantee. Some people say, oh Bhante, you say jhana, you pray so highly about jhana. But why people who commit jhana make mistake? Well, because can fall. Devarata also got very powerful jhana up to a psychic level. But he also fell. He committed two most heinous crimes. Causing the Buddha to bleed. And also schism, splitting the Sangha. So, never. So, but anyway, jhana is very wonderful. So, because of this good sila, it produces very wonderful mental states, supportive, powerful mental states. And because of this, three virati, Samma Vaja, Samma Kamanta, Samma Ajiva. Because of hiri, otapa, moral shame and moral fear. And because of this, lightness, lahuta, tranquility, pasadi, and muduta, adaptability, pagunyata, efficiency, adaptability, efficiency, proficiency, and ujuka, kaya, ujuka, chitu, ujuka, chitu, ujuka. So this quality, this uprightness, and all these qualities, they have support our samadhi. Support our samadhi. And because one factor is support is when people who observe sila in the sutta, there are so many occasions. It is given some in the commentary, the stories in the Buddhist history, that monks sometimes they feel, oh, why I'm not progressing, why I cannot progress. Then they reflect, oh, I'm keeping good sila. Oh, how wonderful is my sila. The joy arises. You see, people who keep longer sila, purity of sila, the joy can arise even stronger. And what is joy? Piti. Piti is a proximate cause of samadhi. Proximate cause. Of course, you can say not for fourth jhana, not for third jhana. Piti. But in order to come to third jhana and fourth jhana, you always pass through first jhana and second jhana. And first jhana, what are the five jhana factors? Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. Application of the mind, sustained application of the initial application, sustained application of the mind, and then joy, piti, and then happiness, happy feeling, and then ekagata, one-pointedness. So this piti is very important. If you have piti, you have interest, you have joy, you have rapture, then the mind, easy to stick to the object. And when you have piti, usually it comes with sukha feeling. When you have piti, your feeling is also sukha feeling. It cannot be upekka, it's sukha. So this piti, once piti arises, the sukha also arises, the feeling, and these things is very powerful. You find, what you like to do, you can do continuously for a long time, right? But if you don't like, then you have no happy feeling, you cannot do. So this joy and happiness, it keeps the mind naturally sustained on the object continuously for a long time. And as you know, as we say, when the mind can apply itself on the object continuously for a long time, then samadhi arises. You must understand how samadhi can arise. Samadhi arises because the mind can sustain itself on the simple object continuously for a long time. So, knowing this, this is a mechanism how the samadhi, how concentration can arise, is by sustain, constantly let the mind stay on one thing continuously for a long time, then the concentration can arise. And then jhana is the mind that stay on that same object continuously with the karmic creating consciousness, jhavana. So, knowing this, you know how the joy functions. Joy make your mind easy to stay on the same object. And joy comes with happiness. Happiness also, good feeling also, is like glue. Naturally, you don't need to press yourself. Some people, they force themselves like that, then they suffer so much. But if you, all you need to know is you arouse the happiness. If you are happy, then your mind naturally stay there. Do you need to force? You don't need to force. If you are contented, but some people's happiness because of a lot of change, because of music, because of rock, then they are happy. Then such happiness actually is actually produced by a lot of agitation, a lot of restlessness. Not the real true happiness in the true sense. But the happiness that we are cultivating through sila, like contentment, fewness, selfishness, frugality, such is actually simply apakicu, simple, less, not many duty. You don't try to create many things. You're just simple. So such a mind can stay on the object easily. So because of this reason, also one more factor can make the mind develop samadhi. So with that, if you understand Abhidhamma and you understand Vinaya, understand Sutta, then you can see the sila samadhi, the scheme of the Buddha in a coherent manner. If you only, some people they push away Abhidhamma. Oh, Abhidhamma, not the Buddha's teaching. You just want to talk about Sutta. Or you only want to talk about Vinaya. Or even the Sutta, they say, no, five Nikaya, four Nikaya. When this happens, you miss so much of the Dhamma. To understand the Dhamma, you have to see it in the Tipitaka in a coherent way. And you have to have Pariyati Patipati Veda. About the theory, and then the practice, and the realization. With this, you can understand the Dhamma in a coherent way. Like now, as I explained to you. If without Abhidhamma, when I explain, you can say, well, it's like, what is this? You know, is this something legend? Or is it a miraculous? How? Nobody can, people don't understand. How we need to cultivate dana first, then after that, sila, samadhi, panya. How these are interrelated. So because of not having the real understanding of this mechanism and their interrelation, so some people, they go and take away samadhi. Oh, samadhi, not so important. Wisdom. Oh, I start with wisdom first. I practice Dhamma. Some people say, oh, the Easterner practice Dhamma through sila, first samadhi, panya. We Westerner practice, we go backward from samadhi, from panya. Which is, that even if they call it panya, yes, it's true. You know, the Buddha, when in the four, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha also says samadhi, samasankappa. So this is wisdom factor. But at the end, to perfect that wisdom, to perfect that samadhi, initially it's like you get some understanding, oh, how should I practice, how should I do? But that understanding is not rooted. But when you practice sila and samadhi, and after that you realize, then that samadhi, samasankappa is rooted. Rooted by what? Bhavana maya panya. The wisdom through realization. As we say, three types of knowledge. Sutta maya panya, you hear, you listen, and you contemplate on it. Cinta maya panya. Then realization, bhavana maya panya. This is very important. This is very useful. So with the Abhidhamma understanding, you look at the Sutta again and look at the Vinaya again, you know why the Buddha laid out the Vinaya in this way. Is it for the pride of the teacher? Oh, the student keeps service. Recently, I saw one book. One Theravada, Mahathera. He wrote a book attacking Theravada. He's trying to show that how, but it's a lot of bad karma inside. I don't know. People brought to me one book. A Western Mahathera. Well, at one time quite famous, at one time also came to famous in Singapore and Malaysia. He attacked Theravada. He attacked, why this monk proud? They want people to bow to them. Even bowing also he criticized. It is in our tradition. It is in all Buddhist tradition that, you know, people bow to the Sangha, junior bow to the elders. Even bowing also he attacked. What other things he cannot attack? Whole book attacking. I don't want to say. I don't want to get into direct relationship. I don't want to mention which book and who that is. But this happened. I read. Oh, I was shocked. So they think they understand. They don't understand. The Buddha did not do this
He said, if they think they have wisdom, oh, we care about liberation only. Why? When we talk about liberation, we talk about non-self. Why do we want people to bow to us? They want to reject, want to change its culture and tradition. No, the Buddha did all this for a purpose. You see, initially, when initial disciples, mainly arahants, the Buddha did not say, oh, you all must do this and that. Basically, at that time, they are like brothers. Everyone called each other, awuso, 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 friend. Later, just not long before he passed away, before the Buddha passed in Parinibbana, not long, the Buddha gave the instruction. From now onwards, let the junior address the senior as Bante, and then the senior address the junior as Awuso. Why? Because when for the arahants, highly attained arahants, yes, no problem. Even if call each other Awuso, not much problem. But later, because of human's qualities, defilements, so the Buddha actually want to establish certain, the Vinaya, certain rules, so that the junior will always have some kind of respect for the elders. The Buddha said, the Sangha will collapse if the, will not sustain well, if the junior Sangha member no longer respect the senior Sangha member. So sometimes certain rules are related to this. For example, in the same bench, but also sometimes with exception, because of special situation. Monks that are more than three vasa apart in seniority, they usually don't sit on the same bench. Same bench. There's certain wisdom in it. Certain rules are to remind us to be humble. Don't think you should override your elders or whatever. You can excel in your deep your wisdom. But certain forms, he has his wisdom. A lot of things, these nowadays modern people, they think they have the intelligence to judge the Buddha's wisdom. Oh, the Buddha laid out the Garudama, 8 Garudama for the Vikuni. Oh, they question, how can? The Buddha said anatta. So anatta, everyone is equal. How can man and woman, Vikuni and Bhikkhu, not equal? They don't understand. There are a lot of wisdom in it. In order to understand this, a person must practice deep enough and must really understand profound, deep enough on dependent origination. On all what factors affect what? What factors affect what? There are reasons. Now these modern people, they are trying to outsmart the Buddha. They think they have the wisdom to judge the Buddha. How can? With Chinta Maya Panya, you want to judge the Buddha's Bhavana Maya Panya. How could it be possible? Even sometimes students and ourselves, sometimes the students try to judge us, and then later, through times, the student realize they made a serious mistake. And what more to say, between ourselves and the Buddha, is completely cannot compare. So this is very important. A lot of sila cultivation, people think it is form only. The Buddha is just trying to use the form to bring out the inner qualities. It is true. When you put the Buddha image at home, usually you have to, when you look at the Buddha's face, you should look up. If you put, you try to see, you put the Buddha image on a low place, no good. Xiaoji, Bao Xiaoji also say no good. And I also, this is bad feng shui. Bad feng shui. It is true. Why the bad feng shui come about? You look down. When our eyes look down, somehow psychology different. In Nepal, I have one good friend in his hotel. Now he's collapsed, his business come down already. In his hotel, he put the Buddha image on the floor. As like, actually the Buddha is like an antique. It's no more respectful than the Buddha image. So I know he's quite proud. He won't listen too much to me, but he helped me a lot. So I was waiting for the right time to correct him. Oh, you cannot put the Buddha image so low. Cannot. At least you should put the Buddha image when a standing, a average size person or a tall man, when in a standing position, the eyes look at the Buddha's face, should look up. Usually, when you look at the Buddha, always look at the Buddha's face, right? So you look up. You don't look down. When you look down and the Buddha's eyes look at the Buddha's face, this is no good. This is feng shui. Feng shui has a lot to do, when the real feng shui has a lot to do with our mind. If this thing produces a contempt in our minds towards the holy object, a holy representation, this is no good. Because the Buddha image represents the Buddha's qualities, and you look down, that is no good. I've seen, and theology also say, the holy object we should put high, like Sima, like Stupa, Bodhi tree. We don't simply put on low place, we put high place. Ah, this is very important, spirit. That's why sometimes when I go to a place, they put me in low place. I say, I don't mind, you know, low place, no problem. Now it's okay, nobody's sitting on the chair. But if someone is sitting on a chair, and I usually don't want to give talk here. You should put me at least sitting on a chair, at least a bit higher or equal, but not lower. If someone is sitting on a chair listening, usually it's very bad. No good for the person, karma, and not so good for me. But sometimes we compromise, we tolerate, not with disrespect for Vinaya, because we go to a new place where people don't understand. If it is a Christian or somebody, then we just say, well, don't make people, these people don't have the wisdom to understand our explanation. So tolerate a little bit and wait for the right time to tell. But for those who are faithful ones, I will just tell direct, oh sorry, you cannot do. Get me a chair or raise me up on a higher position so that I keep my Vinaya, because we cannot speak Dharma on a lower position. So like, you know, when we give precepts, you know, if they don't take precepts, okay. So sometimes what we do, for example, a certain rule, when you listen to Dharma talk, if people fold their leg like that, do like that, sorry, then it is wrong for us to tell Dharma. But what to do? I'm not sure whether you have a lot of faith in the Sangha, or you are a newcomer, or you are Christian. How do I know? So if you are not sure sometimes, okay, lo, I just stop not looking at you. Lo. I just tell my mind, I'm teaching them. I'm not teaching you. You just happen to hear it. So in this way, sometimes we try to apply. So it's very important, certain rules, especially in the Sakya rules, 75 Sakya rules at the back. There's a lot of rules saying that, how? If you're walking barefooted and another wearing shoes, don't tell Dharma. When you are a person is lying down and you are sitting, don't tell Dharma. And if you are standing and the listener is sitting, you cannot teach Dharma. And when you are at the back and people in the front, you cannot teach Dharma. So that's why it is very necessary to put the teacher sitting in front. Oh, I know the modern big boss, they all have to sit at the back. They sit at the back because why? They are afraid of bullet, you see. When the bullet hit from front, some people die for them. If bullet hit from the back, still they are a little safe. You know, if they get a knock or whatever, they are so afraid of dying. So actually the front in many ways is advantage. You know, it's clearer, and then actually it's more stable. You see, if a car turns around, climbing up the hill, the back always you get swing, you know. That's why now the big shots are, or like the big leaders, they must have their car so long that, you know, the middle is actually not at the back, you know. If it's at the back, you get swing. So in this way, but for our Dharma purpose, the teacher sit in front. Sometimes it so happens. Some people at the back, they want to ask some Dharma. Then you are in front and on higher position. If you are at the back, sometimes they ask Dharma. If they are newcomers, sometimes also very pitiful. Sometimes we don't want to tell, but they may think we are arrogant. And we explain, they think, well, your Buddha's rule always want to put you all too high. Also, people can miss. You see, these things can misunderstand, can even happen. You know, we get a great accusation towards Theravada and towards Theravada rules by a Theravada monk. A reputed Theravada monk, Western Theravada monk. It's very pitiful. If this can come even from a Theravada monk, what more to say when it can come from a Christian or other people who have no faith? So sometimes it's very difficult, for we have to be careful. So sometimes the kapya rule is also important. Try to arrange and the teacher sit in front. And so that if people ask Dharma, at least if the driver sometimes not being able to take off shoes. Usually when you listen to Dharma, you're supposed to take off your shoes. But sometimes the driver, you know, they say, but it seems it's prohibited. When you drive, you're supposed to wear shoes, right? You cannot go barefooted. But sometimes our devotees, if they want to ask Lama, they just go barefooted, dry barefooted. They're so used to that. So, well, this is one way. But sometimes if they don't also, we don't emphasize, don't insist. Sometimes you go to a lecture hall in the university. The seat is always higher. All higher. Like auditorium, all higher. And the speaker is lower. That one is no choice. Because of, not out of disrespect, because of the modern context, things are like that. And also you tell the audience, oh please, it's very cold, all aircon there. Oh, please take off your shoes. Also not. But anyway, all these rules are meant to show some respect for the Dharma. Because the mind is not respectful, and taking weapon, no, you don't teach. So these are the things. So, if we keep good sila, and then all these sila instruction for us are meant to develop those qualities which is beneficial for samadhi. That all in that direction, if you really look at it. The Buddha did not teach the sila for nothing. The Buddha did not teach. Sila is meant for, the purity of the sila is meant for purity of the mind. The purity of the mind is meant for purity of view. The purity of view is meant for purity to overcome doubt. And that is lead on to another purity. And then the vision and path. Vision and path, and then the vision. So seven purification. One is going to lead on to another. One leads on to another. One leads on to another. So sila is not meant for sila by itself. It's meant for another, for samadhi. Purification of mind is usually referred to samadhi. And samadhi is not only for samadhi. Samadhi is meant for wisdom. And how samadhi leads on to wisdom, this will come under our discussion tomorrow night. Okay, huh? Okay, any question?
Just now, Bhante explained how the wise think. So, we as a Buddhija, how would we know how a wise person who is enlightened?
How to know the wise person? Okay, they're the wise. You see, certain things we may not know exactly, but there are certain criteria is for sure. The wise will not approve causes of suffering. The wise person will not respond with causes of suffering. Because if you respond to causes of suffering, you only add on to suffering. Even this simple understanding brings us a long way. So whenever you face anything, the wise will not approve jealousy, because jealousy is causes of suffering. The Buddha never approved greed, anger, delusion. The Buddha never approved pride, because pride is a cause of suffering. But now modern days, people are like to say, I'm proud of this, I'm proud of that, I'm proud of my country. But this is wrong. This pride only hold us down. But in the worldly sense, because of pride, you have the motivation. But if you use pride as a motivation, there's a price to pay. It keeps you in samsara for a long time. For a long time. So this pride. And what else? You see, now the people, they enjoy glory. They think it's okay, But the Eastern way is humility. But the Western way is, it's not wrong. You show your pride. Everyone is fighting to show their pride. So this is wrong. For example, people are talking about whether this homosexual is right or wrong. There's a Buddhist circle there. People are discussing about it. So we have even nuns supporting this homosexual. Now how to judge it? Would the wise approve it or not? If you really look at it, and people ask, From another point, you say, oh, compassion, they have this tendency, things like that. Now, what? How should we look at it?
If you ask people who understand, well, any defilement is a defilement.
In fact, theology say, power theology say, even for acceptable sexual act, you know, like husband and wife, okay, there's no kamesu. But if the husband and wife indulge in sensual pleasures too much, and dying moment, you have nothing else to think of, you only think of the sensual things, what would you be reborn? Wufu rams. Even allowable one, if too much indulgence, to the point that you cannot think of any other things dying at the dying moment, cannot think of any other wholesome thing except this. Actually, we heard this from practitioner. One practitioner, he recalled how he fell into the wufu realm. Dying moment, thinking of the wife, about the sensual thing. Dying moment, cannot think of other things, too sensual, fall. So, then, if you have this Abhidhamma understanding, then you just look at homosexuality. Even when the whole society in general is looking at it, you feel the great pressure, but the drive is too strong. I just don't care. I just want to do it. Then it is cross. Same, like kamesu, sexual act, and ordinary sexual act, different. Kamesu, you know, this is people's wife. But you know, you are going to hurt someone. But you really go for it. It must be very strong force. The tanha is too strong. To the point you are going to take any risk. You are going to pay any price. But the tanha is too strong. So the karma is very heavy. But, you know, but for example, if Mahatma Gandhi's way of looking is different. Okay, if you need for progress, procreation, to give birth, whatever. Okay, then just fulfill it. But other than that, he's not going to indulge. So the quality, the degree of tanha, the craving, and upadana is a stronger form of tanha, actually. So the cittasika is loba cittasika. So this, if it, the degree is less, so not so heavy, not so strong. But if the degree is at all price, you fight and do. Even though you know it is distorted, you know that even knowing that it is a distorted inclination, but still insist on holding it, insist on perpetuating it. So you can see the craving, how strong it is. So for that reason, anyone who wants to promote such freedom is a problem. But to say you have to hate them, look down, is also another bad thing. So all we should do is, we just tell the truth. The Buddha say, this is kamis, this is anything form, like you know, the sexual act which is allowed, is husband and wife. Outside that, it is not suitable for the Dharma. And what is our life? Our life is encouraging people towards liberation. So instead of helping them, oh, this is craving. You should reduce this craving. It is allowed husband and wife because the Buddha also knows. No one can stop this, the human race to carry on. Some people don't do this, monks and nuns, but some people, they will. It's impossible to ask the whole world to become monks and nuns. So, okay, from a practical sense, okay, this is not prohibited. But still, indulgence is harmful. So, for homosexual, it's purely for sexual satisfaction. Purely for the satisfaction of craving. So, for Buddhists, for monks and nuns, we will advise people not to look down for such people who have such inclination. They are pitiful. They are born with such inclination, we should have compassion towards them. But to say, this is okay.
to say this is okay. We can never say like that. This, any form of causes of suffering, we can never say it is okay. So, with this understanding of Sutta, Vinaya, and Abhidhamma, we can safely give an answer. On one hand, we must not look down and despise them. We must not do anything. But to make it open and, you know, it's okay, it's no problem, you know, then Buddhists should not go to that extent. Should not. You know, it's like setting different value judgment for the world. You know, the Buddha's value judgment is all form of causes of suffering are not to be encouraged. Not to be encouraged. But to say we torture them, you know, despise them, is also no. We should also give them, like, regard them with brotherhood and sisterhood, you know, and then regard them with friendship and guide them towards liberation. So the right thing for monks and nuns is not to fight for this right or that right. It's not our business. Our business is to teach people, any causes of suffering we should overcome. We should not indulge in these causes of suffering. This should be the right thing. But modern people, they don't have the Buddha's value judgment anymore. They lose that. But if we go by the Buddha's guidance, then we can come to the answer. But if you go by the popular way, human rights, whatever rights, then they go another way. The wise, the Buddha, at any time you don't find the Buddha will condone or agree to new cause of suffering. What are the real cause of suffering? Well, people can say right and wrong also depends on the era. Now is a new era. This is new age. People, no, not like that. The ultimate Dhamma, the Paramata Dhamma, Kusala is Kusala, Akusala is Akusala. So with this understanding, it also helps. So the wise, and how to know the wise? The wise must not indulge in that. If the wise indulge in anger, you know, they cannot be wise. Because anything that hurt ourselves and hurt others, how can it be wisdom? When you get angry, greed, anger, delusion, jealousy, how can that be helping ourselves? It cannot be wisdom. So this is from there. But to be exactly to know who is wiser than who, whether Sariputta's wisdom and Meru Mahamogarana wisdom, this is the Buddha can judge. We cannot judge. Because in the Dhamma, it's given in the Sutta that the higher wisdom can judge a lower wisdom. The lower wisdom cannot judge a higher wisdom. The higher wisdom can know the lower, the higher mind can know the lower mind. The lower mind cannot know the higher mind. Because all higher mind comes from the lower mind also, you know. But if you are lower, you cannot see the higher. You cannot see. So sometimes it is a big arrogance for those who do not have that level of wisdom and try to judge higher wisdom. So it's not for us to judge a Buddha. It's not for the student who try to judge the teacher. Of course, if the teacher really be so bad that tell people to break the five precepts, then you can say, sorry, I can safely say that this teacher is actually lower than me in wisdom. But generally, if you take this teacher as your teacher, you must be able to accept that at least in this Dhamma field, he's wiser than you. Maybe not in every case, but at least mostly. Otherwise, why should you take him as a teacher? You just, so sorry, I am wiser than you, I just leave you, I don't need to learn from you. So in this way. So you may not be able to know exactly what the Buddha would think in your position. But still, one skillful approach I always use when I want to make big decision is, what would the Buddha do if he were to be in my shoes, in my position? Well, not to be arrogant, we cannot know exactly what the Buddha thinks. But by thinking like that, we are actually bringing out the highest wisdom, our knowledge of the Buddha. Everyone's knowledge of the Buddha is different because of our Dhamma realization. Because of Dhamma, our knowledge of the Buddha is different. But at least most people will know, the Buddha will not get angry. The Buddha always loves everybody. You know? That's why just few days ago, a lady called me up, you know, attacking another person, this person so very bad, very bad, very bad, and tried to sway me to her side. I said, no matter how wrong or right, you just have to have compassion. I said, how dare compassion of such person? Cannot, you know, this is cannot, you know, whether we can do it or we cannot do it, but we cannot approve anger towards anybody.
We cannot approve, not forgiving anybody, cannot. We may guard against such person or whatever, this person is dangerous. We can guard. But you may not want to associate with this person. This is okay. Sometimes we don't. You have to guard ourselves whether we are strong enough to associate. If you are not strong enough to associate with it, you can be pulled down. So because of that, if you, it's not beneficial, you don't associate. Imina punya kamena mame bala samagamo. Let me not associate with that ignorant one. But not to have compassion, to lose in compassion, to lose in forgiveness, it is wrong. Why? If we lose our virtues and our good dharma qualities for other people's evil, it is very unwise. Because just because somebody commit evil, my dharma power lost. I no longer have the desire to serve. I no longer have the compassion to help others just because someone act in a ungrateful manner. Oh, cannot. We continue to cultivate. We strengthen our dharma power even more because of that. So these are the simple things you can still see. You try to see what the Buddha supposed to do. You may not know exactly what the Buddha would act in this situation, but you know what the Buddha would not do. All unwholesome things. You know the Buddha will always regard all beings, any being, even Devarata, with love and compassion and with wisdom. So then more or less you can know certain, the main feature you can know. The details, whether the Buddha would do this and walk this side or go that way, you may not know exactly. Because it requires a higher wisdom to know in details. So in this way. Okay, long. Too long already. Everyone wants to go back. Okay, let's share merits and make aspiration. We make aspiration, may this merits for us to help us to overcome our causes of suffering and our taints and defilements. Idang me punyang asawakaya wahang hotu. May this merits for us to be a supportive conditions for our realization of Nibbana. Idang me punyang Nibbana sa pachayo hotu. And then we share this merit with all beings equally, and may they rejoice in the merits that we have done in this Dharma sharing session. Idang me punyang sabba sattana bhaje ma te sabbe me sama punya bhagam labandu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.